Good evening. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us this evening our good friend Bill Sardi, who's a health journalist, who keeps me abreast of so many of the things that are going on in the health field today, because there is so much information coming out about new medicines and some of the machinations that are going on in the government. And so with that as a background, hi, Bill. How are we doing tonight?
Great to be with you, Dr. Stan. And, of course, an interesting time here in just 1 week. They've, of course, got possibly a vaccine against cervical cancer and a new drug they want to use for breast cancer. And, of course, the bird flu is still in the news, and we have it's terrible. We've got a parrot in England that's been struck with the bird flu, one parrot. And so, you know, these kind of things really need to be covered in the news. And, of course, it's a tragedy for the birds. I don't know what's going to happen with us with the flu this season, but they're going to make sure it's going to happen, whatever it is. So it's an interesting time to be talking about health care in America.
I really think it is, and I think it's really so fascinating. We see really all the hype about the bird flu, and, you know, as an article you sent me recently said, you know, this is for the birds. It is a disease of birds, and birds are dying. A lot of them have been killed, talking about maybe 150 million birds have either died or been killed in the effort to stop it, but it's primarily an avian disease, and yet they're hyping they're really frightening us, and my goodness, it could mutate, you know. Well, it's got to mutate. It's not a matter of if, but when. And there's no evidence at all that it will mutate, but it's certainly going to be very good for the producers of Tamiflu, which, of course, was originally produced by company that was headed by Donald Rumsfeld. I thought that was such an interesting twist on this. I was wondering who's going to make all the money on Tamiflu. And, of course, the company that developed that actually licensed it to Roche, but that was the company that had been headed by Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, of course, the insult is that all the world health authorities and all the news reporters are actually ducking their heads. They can see the holes in the story, but they're not pointing them out to the public. And I guess, you know, it's good for newspaper reading, good for TV viewing, and that's what they need, that's what they want, and they don't mind if it's misinformation. And that's really what's going on. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, in Romania and Turkey, they're actually killing birds, domesticated birds, when there are millions of birds flying around in the wild, and they're the ones supposedly transmitting it. There must be 50 billion birds in the world. And so exactly what do you think you're going to do killing off a few million? It will do nothing. And most of these birds aren't dying, and most of them aren't affected by it at all.
And I think that's really what's so interesting, is that many birds contract the virus, and they don't die from it. They live with it. Well, we're going to be back here in just a few minutes with Bill Sardi, but if you've ever seen an example of something that was aimed, you know, at manipulating the fears of the public, why it is the threat of the avian flu epidemic, and this idea it's not a matter of if, but when it mutates. Well, why do they say it's going to mutate? What do they know? Do they already have it in the test tube someplace? We know they can engineer all sorts of things. We know that they have actually talked about creating new diseases for mass killing, and, well, who knows what's going to happen. We'll be right back in just a moment with Bill Sardi. Well, Bill, why don't you pick up the story there?
Well, certainly we do have a lot of things in the news. The bird flu is hard to get away from. Maybe it's an overplayed topic, but I think there are, lots of people catching up with the story at busy in the week and so on. And it's interesting to me that where are people going for information? Apparently the government, Centers for Disease Control website had nearly 500,000 hits in one day. They're the people giving you the misinformation. But this is where Americans go, and you notice that when you go to the web and you're searching for something, all the government websites pop up first. So the propaganda sites get the first hits, and after that, why, people probably are too tired out and they've already been brainwashed or whatever. So this is kind of what goes on. I'm almost, humored by the idea of washing your hands against a viral infection. It's a great idea, I think, for kids and things in the home. And you want to cut down on gastric infections and things and bugs that get in your hands. And those are usually bacteria, sometimes yeast, but certainly that's what these are. And viruses, we certainly know, are carried by you, a carrier, on mucous membranes. And it's your flying saliva that gets into the eyes, into the mouth, into the lungs of someone near you, and then, of course, this is how this is transmitted. So I'm a little humorous over the very ideas of washing your hands, this kind of thing. And, of course, we're getting this from public health authorities themselves, and, of course, they're saying, by all means, get the flu shot. Which flu shot? For what? The bird flu? I mean, what's circulating this flu season is not for the birds. And so I'm just lost where the misinformation's coming from. But if we do get a flu shot, it won't be probably for the flu that's in circulation this year. The flu vaccines, they're intentionally holding them off. They're supposed to be available on the 24th here. Again, this is what we call, of course, just an intentional shortage. The cabbage patch doll syndrome is make sure there's a shortage and then everybody will call. And it's just a giant hand-in-hand effort between the politicians paid off by vaccine manufacturers to make sure these things are sold. And the public doesn't opt for vaccines unless it looks like there's some sort of panic. So,
and of course, what they're doing is they're confusing the vaccine for the avian flu with a vaccine for the regular flu, and we're just beginning the end of the flu season, and a lot of people are being confused. You've got to get your flu shot. My goodness, the avian flu could strike at any time, and yet, usually, as you point out, the flu vaccine that they make is for the wrong organism. We'll be right back here with Bill Sardi. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and year after year they come up with a flu vaccine, but they have to manufacture it 6 months before the epidemic strikes, and so the organism, and it really doesn't do much of any good. Well, maybe it does do some good because it has toxic doses of mercury in it, and we know the incidence of Alzheimer's goes up dramatically in the elderly, and aren't there already just too many elderly around? Dr. Pudenberg pointed out that if you're between the ages of 60 and 65 and you take 3 to 4 influenza shots over a 5-year period, the incidence of Alzheimer's goes up 1,000%, and yet the public health officials are telling all older people to get their flu shot, and they have to ask why, since it really doesn't do much of it, because they do not have a sufficiently active immune system to deal with it, to raise an immune response. So why don't you pick up the thoughts on that, Bill?
Well, you know, it's more of the insults, more of the misinformation. Unfortunately, for some reason, this doesn't seem to get to about 100 million Americans who, they've got about 96 million doses of flu vaccine for this season. There may be a few more, but that's about what they have. Excuse me. And, of course, you got to get people to roll up their sleeves and come in for their $10 or $15 and get this done. And, of course, the Centers for Disease Control makes a deal with the vaccine manufacturers here. You guys make a whole bunch of this, and then we'll try and sell it. And lately they've been trying to sell it with nothing but flu scares. Last year they said there was something bad coming, and it fizzled out. And this year they're making it worse than ever. But they have been able to accomplish one thing with this whole thing, and that is get this onto a global scale. You notice how we found the bird flu in Romania and Turkey and just all across the globe all of a sudden. Now, Japan spilled the beans. It was in the Japan Times. They looked at the strain of the flu virus in their bird. It was only a bird that virus that was found in South America, and the South American birds don't migrate to Japan. It had to have been intentionally brought there, and of course, they're alleging that it was brought in with a bird flu vaccine. That is not for humans, a veterinary vaccine. So I think this thing is being intentionally spread across the globe. And, of course, the news people, this is just great. And, you know, the news dying. Their newspapers, the hard newspapers and magazines, U.S. News and World Report, almost declaring bankruptcy now because everybody's going to the Internet, and I thought it was almost humorous as they revealed their new plan for the future deals with health care, because U.S. News and World Report has really made their mark by having special editions that rated all the colleges in the United States. And, of course, now they're going to have a hand-in-hand relationship with a company, a country, and rate all the hospitals and disease cures. Now, of course, U.S. News and World Report is just a front for the colleges and the hospitals and doctors. So it's certainly not an unbiased source of information to us. So going on in the news, the bird flu, and of course, it's just really hard to see anything past the headlines. And of course, this gets on television, it becomes a 15-second clip, and you get more worried about things. But all of these world researchers now, these are virologists and epidemiologists and infectious disease control experts, and they're all being disingenuous. And of course, it's great for them. They get the notoriety, they get the funding, and all the things, get to play with this whole crazy thing on a world scale and drum it up. And of course, it's just hype. And where are we going? I don't believe we're going to do much. Now, our problem is that this season, alleged to kill 36,000 Americans and more than a million people worldwide, those are false numbers, highly inflated, just to get people worried about the flu. But this year's flu season could be characterized as the mutated, the horrendous and dreaded Spanish flu of 1918, or at least a variety that we as humans don't have any immunity to. And since they don't have any way in the early stages of determining one from, you could just say we're going to have to launch a quarantine, stop all airplane flights, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you can understand the nations of the world just kind of falling. They can't really voice much opposition to this. Getting in the way of this, that'd be treason, of course. Just imagine the sanctions that would go against a country that opened its mouth against these kind of things. Well, the agriculture director of Spain spoke up and said the whole thing's just for the birds. It's certainly just a, and that's all. And of course, birds see, some of them do die off. You can find a dead bird around here and there, but that doesn't mean that we've got a bird flu epidemic going on. But we do have this one dead parrot in Britain saying it is the bird flu. So I'm panicking over that one then. And of course, this is just the kind of thing we saw earlier. The State Department, about 10 days, issued an odd bulletin. What is this, chewing a bulletin about the flu and health, but that our dogs are getting a kind of the flu and that we should be worried? Doesn't it make us worried about, you know, State Department issues propaganda, at least that's what I thought they did, and they certainly might have this time. I just don't think the public is getting, you know, if you don't think for the public, it just passes by them and they don't think about these things. So if you're not putting a spin on it, you know, public can't see, so they don't see what's really going on. And of course, I've had, you know, just lots of emails and things. What should I do about this year's flu? What flu? No worse than the rest of them. So, but here we are with the hype and the whole problem. And as the fear contagion, of course, is Wendy Orent writing in the Washington Post, the fear contagion, which is just, it's all about fear, and that's all it is. That's what seems to be spreading all around the world. And of course, at least somebody did speak up about this in the Washington Post. But we see so little of this, and if you're trying to think about what to do, you go to my website, Knowledge of Health. We tell you things there you can do, and there's a guide at that you can get to at survivalvitamins.com, and it just tells you all about how to prepare for the flu, especially if you're an older adult. There's a guide because older adults are vulnerable, and then for your children and so on, because the kids got to have something they will be willing to take. So there's a couple of guides you can download and print out, make copies, hand it out to people.
Right, I pulled those down just this last week and read through them, and fascinating. It's so important that people have large doses of vitamin C and D and E and zinc and certainly probably access to some Alamax or allicin, which is the active ingredient in garlic, and perhaps even in this oil of oregano. And these things will really build up the immune system and help you so you don't get the flu. If you do, you know, it really won't.
If you're listening to this program and you think all those things that were just mentioned sound a little junior high schoolish, we do give references for them all, and you can see the whole point there and how to use them. And elderberry syrup is wonderful for children and adults, and it's popular with the kids. So things that you can do, but you should have had these in the home all along. You shouldn't have been relying on antibiotics, which don't work for viruses anyway. And certainly we have antibiotic resistance, so you don't want to overuse them anyway. So learning all these things, to have them in the home medicine cabinet, we're not giving an ad to anybody. We're just certainly trying to give you the good information with the references so you know this isn't coming from, you know, traditional book that was written about how to fix people with a cold from 100 years ago. This is all modern science stuff. The problem is they're trashing the science, pushing it aside, and of course the biggest threat is that the flu virus, the bird flu virus, might be the worst form, something that we don't have any immunity towards. And of course the mutation has to occur in people in selenium. So if you have this little trace mineral, you may not. And of course it's good to supplement with selenium and has some other dramatic health effects, but they're not bringing this up, and they don't want to bring it up. We brought it up to the government health authorities. Of course, they're in league. They don't want any competition. They want this worthless Tamiflu drug and so on, you know, to be pushed. And, of course, now we're going to dollars of a drug we may never use unless, oh, of course, they could do something terrible as a drill. They certainly could do it by as more than a drill. They could cull the populations of the world. Because they do have a deadly flu virus. They made it. They is the United States. And we, of course, mutated these viruses intentionally in the laboratory, sitting in a laboratory at the University of Wisconsin under less than optimal security measures. So we're getting a little concerned that if that version of the flu, that man-made version, ever should get out. And, of course, one got out of the laboratory in China and became SARS. So these things do escape from laboratories. There was another one that got out here recently, and of course we're concerned. So if this ever happens, humans just don't have certainly the antibodies for certain kind of strains of the flu, and of course it might just sweep the globe. Would it kill us? For most of us, I doubt if it would do much in a well-nourished population here in North America, but certainly anybody that has a lingering infection, and certainly HIV patients, but people with a compromised immune system and diabetics and people that are asthmatics and many other conditions, they would be certainly at high risk, and very small infants under two and or retirees are certainly at risk. So we have issues there that we need to deal with, and of course pregnant females, and we've got about 4 million of those in a year, so they're at risk, and we can't just be giving them any kind of drug we want to give them. So
let me just comment, for pregnant women, don't take the flu vaccine, because it's got a high dose, of course, of mercury in it, and of course that will go straight into the brain of the unborn child, and certainly if you've got a six-month-old, why would you want to give them toxic doses of mercury when there's no question there's a relationship between that and the fact that one in six American children has a neurodevelopmental abnormality, according to the CDC. All recent, already since we started the massive flu vaccination with vaccines that contain toxic doses. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Bill Sarney. Bill, go ahead, pick up the story from there.
Well, I certainly hope that we've been talking and repetitively on your program here, drumming into hopefully new listeners and others that you need to be prepared in your home for these kind of events, and we're prepared in our home for actually any event, and we've been accumulating food and other things, and we anticipate that if there's an event, we have to cook on our own or have toilet facilities or water or whatever. We are prepared for a 30-day ordeal. So things that we just seem to be living in an age of cataclysm, and from hurricanes and tsunamis and whatever, I don't know, some people saying that these things are being directed by forces that, well, they know how to control the weather and all these other things. We've talked about those in other programs. I don't want to drift too far away this evening. I want to talk about health, but certainly we need to be aware, and of course they're saying here in California that the next big thing, they predicted, FEMA had predicted a terrorist attack, and big thing on their calendar was a hurricane in New Orleans, and the third one was an earthquake in California. centered on the San Andreas Fault and certainly would level San Francisco is what they had kind of outlined. So I don't know. It just seems like what they practice. So I don't know. They've actually drilled down to the San Andreas Fault as of this August. They've got a little place there where they've actually got a direct connection to the San, so they can so-called study these faults and so on. So I don't know. I don't know what it all means, but I don't know how we can stop anything if it occurs. They actually are trying in some parts of the world to create small earthquakes to relieve faults, the pressure on certain fault lines. So who knows what they'll do with the San Andreas Fault. But anyway, that was the third predicted cataclysm here in the United States. And then, of course, we have this infectious disease. You have talked for quite some time about, well, the globalists and the population control people are trying to get the population of the world down and under control. It's pretty stagnant in North America, Japan, Western Europe, but we have a prediction of 3 billion more people, bringing the population of the world from 6 to 9 billion over the next two or three decades, world, Africa, most of it in Muslim populations, Asia, and so on. And, of course, we do know that a great deal of the third world has tuberculosis, 2 billion people worldwide, one-third of the human population, has a bacterial infection in their lungs, tuberculosis. If they should come down with the flu, it could be mortal for them because their immune system is compromised. The flu can get to the lung, and with those two things, and that's what happened in 1918. Our young boys came back from war. They harbored TB. We didn't have antibiotics then. And, of course, they were coughing, and they had TB, and then, of course, the flu came. And that's the group that succumbed to the flu in 1918. Not the youngsters, not the retirees. It was 20 to 40-year-olds, and this makes sense, and it was all just recently discovered by population experts studying the deaths from TB. We realized this is what had happened. So if you have other types of infection, of course, you may not be able to fight.
Hold that cough right there, Bill, please. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening is Bill Sardi, and certainly we're talking about a possibility of certainly some sort of a major cataclysmic event. Now, I was back east just recently visiting with Joyce Riley, who does a program in the early morning, talking about things that had happened. I mentioned that in about 1996 I was going to have a doctoral program talking about the manufacturer of the AIDS virus, and he believes, and I think he's probably right, this was actually produced in laboratories, a part of a program for biological warfare. And I mentioned that I had received, over the fax, from some unknown source, shortly before Lynn was to come on my program, the complete transcript of the hearings that were held in Washington, D.C., when the Dr. MacArthur, who worked for the Army, testified before the House Appropriations Committee and asked for $10 billion to create a new disease that had never existed before, for which there would be no immune response. And he commented that there were many people who thought that the Army should not manufacture this disease because, well, it was another means of mass killing. And some people thought that mass killing was wrong, but he wanted the $10 million because they wanted to manufacture the disease. And he said it'll take 5 to 10 years. And 10 years later, of course, the first cases of AIDS appeared in San Francisco in 1999. It wasn't recognized until 1981. But is that was a connection? I believe there was a definite connection. I believe there really are people who have no concern about. What's interesting was that Joyce Riley had received the same thing about the same time. Somebody in government wanted those of us who have the opportunity to reach out across America to have the information. We have the complete transcript. We'll send you one page, a couple of pages. If you want the complete transcript, we can provide that. But if you'd like one page, it will be provided free of charge if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. Because I think it's so vitally important that our listeners understand there really are people who have no compunction about creating new diseases as a means of mass killing. And when you understand that there are people without a moral conscience, why, it's so much easier to understand so much of what's going on in the world today. Go ahead, Bill.
You know, I think this is difficult for people to think they're listening to a radio program. Sometimes it can sound conspiratorial and so on. And when you realize that they're talking about ways of using weather or disease as weapons, weapons in war, and certainly we have some evidence. After all, in the there is the Weather Control Act of 2005. What's that all about? What do you mean, weather control? And certainly we did pick up in the 1970s that there was technology available how to navigate and use hurricanes as a weapon. After all, it unleashed an atom bomb, and there was, some sort of a document that everyone was supposed to sign in the United Nations in the 1970s that they would not use this type of technology as a weapon of war. So this kind of thing is, it's not just hurricanes. If you can't buy into that idea, even though there's war, you can certainly see it here in the area of population control, so on. And, of course, they went back and looked, and the Darwinists, of course, survival of the fittest, and looking at how the world had controlled its population in the past. And, of course, it was through, of course, the plagues and diseases. And so if they could reintroduce diseases, then nobody would be blamed. It was just be an act of God, the perfect fall guy for all these things. And, of course, we would have disease spread around the world. And that's what they're predicting now, that billions might die, hundreds of millions. These numbers are just bandied about all over the place. And of course, we have no idea if it isn't. But of course, and we're not sure. And we want to make sure that what we have at home, we're prepared with something, and as we learned, everything could be gone. You don't have a doctor's office to go to. There is no medicine. There would be a worldwide, there are no antibiotics available. Everyone's used them up. There is chaos. There are no police. And if anything, they may quarantine your block or something, and so you got to figure out, how am I going to stay alive in this thing?
Well, of course, I think what was so frightening is within the last 10 days, the President of the United States said that in case there was a major epidemic or pandemic, he wanted permission to go ahead and mobilize the Army and use it here in America in violation of the Posse Comitatus Act. He just simply wants Congress to repeal this protection of the population because he wants to be able to have a military dictatorship in America. Military, we're saying, we don't want to do that. We're not trained for that. We're trained for combat, but the President wants to use the military against the American people. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, our guest, Bill Sardi, and we're talking already about some unthinkable things, and yet I think that we have to realize that we are living in very uncertain times. They've never had a hurricane of the ferocity of Wilma, at least for a short period of time. Apparently, it went from a 5 down to a 4, with winds of 150 miles an hour, but at least for a short period of time there, when of course the Wilma was in the center of the Caribbean, they'd never had a storm of this intensity. Why are we seeing so many very intense storms? We've never seen anything like this before.
Well, and certainly the hype about it, this current storm, they were on saying 195 mile an hour winds. You know, this is good to... It's just wonderful. Television, everybody's bidding for your attention. And, of course, there's no greater way to do it than to do things that are shocking and get you to watch. And, of course, news media, well, they had it for a whole year when O.J. was involved in his murder trial and all the other things there. That was the most gripping thing, and they could play that out for a whole year. And the news media is really kind of hooked on this now. They keep saying... They only wish they had another crisis so they could get people to watch. And, of course, I keep saying personally when the Atlanta, nobody was watching the Olympics. The drama between Russia and the United States was over with in the Olympics, and nobody was really much concerned. And all of a sudden on a Saturday, a bomb explosion went off. Well, that got everybody to run to their television set. I keep saying that it was just a planned deal, everybody to watch. The ratings were terrible. the sponsors' money back, and then all of a sudden this occurred. So, you know, I think we have to see that there are public relations stunts all the time on a grander scale, and they're going to do anything they can to get us to watch that boob tube. And, of course, amazing to me what end they'll go to. And if they have to the story a little bit about bird flu or whatever, and it gets the ratings up, so be it. So what's the difference between, well, ABC News and the National Enquirer? We used to call this yellow journalism, but now it's just, a tabloid type of sensational journalism. And we don't see too much separation anymore in the news media. And the problem is a lot of people still consider all this as a reliable source of information. Like I say, 100 million Americans are going to roll up their sleeves for a worthless flu shot. So we can't seem to get the information to them. And if anything, it only has the potential to harm.
There, we'll be right back. Well, our guest this evening is Bill Sardi, and Bill, certainly you want to go to his websites. What are those websites that people should be going to, Bill, to get the information, really, that will help them to get the knowledge so that they'll know what they can take themselves, not having to run to the doctor, but just with natural remedies that will really their immune system?
For a while there, we were doing almost daily reports on the bird flu. I think we have about 8 reports up on knowledgeofhealth.com, and then, of course, survivalvitamins.com has the guides for people who are looking for information, how to keep my kids healthy, and, of course, how our retirees can stay healthy during the flu season, and especially even if it's the worst of the worst, how you can weather and endure this. And understand, you're not going to get help from anybody else, and I think people need to understand, you know, if they're quarantining an area, you're thinking, well, oh, good, they're going to come by with a truck and bring us food. Did you see what happened in New Orleans? I mean, come on, folks, you better be ready. I mean, this is disaster time. They're making chaos, and they intentionally were playing politics here and other things, and who cares? You are the one that's going to suffer. So you, your family, and everything else should be prepared in some way. Now, I know there's people selling all kinds of army rations and all kinds of things. Oh, we're not selling anything here tonight. We're just telling that, you know, this is kind of a good idea. And if you have a major earthquake in California, have any of these other things going, you know, you need to be prepared. And I don't know who's behind them. Maybe they are just acts of God, but it wouldn't be a bad idea to be prepared in some way. And we should have always been less dependent on our failing medical care system. We have a free ebook on my website at knowledgeofhealth.com, The Collapse of Conventional Medicine. We see more and more of that every day. If for anything, Americans can't afford medical care anymore, you should be learning how to take care of yourself and getting off all these expensive medications. They've invented a couple more of them in the last week here. One of them was the cervical cancer vaccine. They found, of course, a link between cancer and viruses. And, of course, that's the papillomavirus. Some troubling parts of this, as wonderful as the discovery seems, a vaccine to make antibodies. There's 14 different types of prevalent papillomavirus, which then in females can result in cervical cancer. The problem with our vaccine, which was just announced, is going to be very effective. And that's good news in a way, but it's not going to lower the cervical cancer rate because most of the women in the United States get pap smears, find the cervical cancer early, and, of course, are cared for and usually have these organs cut out surgically so that they can't have any further involvement. But we do have, unfortunately, about 5,000 women in the United States still die of cervical cancer. These are women usually in the lower income groups. But cervical cancer is way down by 75% since 1950 because of pap smears. So we won't see a drop in cancer rate even though we're going to vaccinate. But the onerous part of this whole thing is they're telling us they're probably that every young girl in the United States gets this papillomavirus vaccine. You get 2 shots.
Then you can be as promiscuous as you want to, and you just won't have to worry.
Well, we're drowning out. I don't know that it really makes people think of being promiscuous, because when you ask, they did surveys of young girls. They didn't even know what it was, just running around doing these things. They did one survey, and quite a few hundred girls at a university, and they all didn't virus when they started, and 5 years later, 60% college girls. So, but the problem we get into is that because of the vaccine, we're never going to hear is to, of course, avoid unnecessary sexual contact, to stay within marriage, and to do these things like this. We're going to hear abstinence or any of these messages. We always had a way of preventing, always did, and totally rely on Easy Street, a so-called vaccine. Well, first thing, the vaccine gets the two prevalent forms of the virus. That's 70% or 30% that still can occur. And, of course, they're going to hear, oh, no, you have to have this. But I can see it now. It's going to be very, very difficult to get into a high school, college, unless a young woman has been vaccinated. And the problem is we're saying they're inventing more ways to protect us against from disease with vaccines. And in the veterinary circles, they're finding out they started, taking our dogs and cats and giving them one vaccine for this and one vaccine for that, and they found out they're giving them too many vaccines, and our pets aren't doing so well, and they're backing off of all this, and they found, of all things, the area, you know, they usually take the nape of the neck on the back, and they bunch it up, and then they stick the little shot right in there in our pets, and that's where they were getting tumors. So, you know, the veterinarians are backing off of vaccinations for their pets. I'm wondering what we're doing. We're just adding up more and more and more for our children, and we still have the mercury in the flu vaccine, and they can tell you it's mercury free. It isn't. It still has a little bit. There's four different types of flu shots this year from four different companies, and one of them is down to just a microgram or so, but the rest have mercury in them, but they all have a little bit. And you've got very small infants. They are vaccinating or suggesting we vaccinate this year, not just down to age 2, but all the way down to, of course, age 6 months. We have never children very young, I believe under 6 or 4 years old. We don't have any even safety data there, and we're doing this.
Well, I think it's really, it's totally unadvised, and if you have children or grandchildren months of age, you know, first of all, I don't think the flu vaccine is a very good idea, but if you're intent upon getting it, insist, of course, that you do not have any mercury. This is the problem, is that they're giving toxic doses of mercury to our children, and they know what they're doing. Let's go to John, who is actually calling from Spokane. Hi, John. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yes. I hope I'm not too off the subject here, but I listened to Bill Nation, I don't know, a month or two ago, about how much vitamin C can be taken. Even though the government says it's not necessary, that would be good for you, and that was, what, 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C 3 times a day.
All right, Bill, what about vitamin C? How much should we take, and how should we take it?
I'm being conservative because if I say things, then people will back away. So Dr. Hickey and Roberts in England writing a book on this saying it's the number of times we take it a day. They'd love to see us take 500 milligrams 5 times a day, but let's make it a little easier, 1,000 milligrams. That certainly gets us up there. And that's about the amount that, you know, we eat 3 meals a day. It might make it easy.
Okay, so that would be with food.
With food, and when you take it with food, by the way, it knocks down problems in your arteries and that kind of thing when you're taking it with food. But, you know, we do see animals about the same size as humans will make about that much vitamin C in a day. Now, the billy goat actually makes he's about 160 pounds, and he'll make 12 or 13,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. And more, well, the point about more is that when we are have any kind of stress, emotional, physical, when we are sick, when we take certain medications, when we're a smoker, when we're drinking alcohol, when we are out in bright sunlight, where, you know, there are all kinds of stresses on humans, and that means we need more. And of course, I'm giving you the number for a perfectly healthy person who isn't, you know, pregnant or a growing child or any of those things. Now, we have a little youngster in our home, and he's being given 20 milligrams of vitamin C per pound of body weight, because that's what the animals make. That's about the rate they make it.
And of course, he hasn't been sick, and no rashes, and no fevers.
How about how much of that?
Vitamin D, again, we're going to have troubles because people are going to run from this show right to the internet pharmacist or doctor to check on what I say. I'm always going, why am I on these programs if everybody's going to run around and find
don't,
the other?
Don't worry about what I'm going to think.
Well, I'm not worried about you, but what happens is all the textbooks and information are dated, and they've now found that we need about 4,000 units of vitamin D, and I'm citing the Vitamin D Council, the world experts on this from all over the globe who are saying this, tell you that's toxic and it's too much for the liver. And just to put you all at ease that are listening, if you go out and stand in the sun in Arizona in the summer for 1 hour at noontime in just your swim shorts, you'll make 10,000 units of vitamin D naturally. It couldn't be toxic if you took 4,000 units a day from supplements, and there's never been sun poisoning from vitamin D. So I'm just making you aware they've been lying to us. I hate to use the word.
Okay, how
about misleading us for decades about vitamin D? So
okay, when you say
I used to prescribe 50,000 units twice a week for older people when we were trying to, of course, get more calcium in their bones. So I certainly would take 50,000 units a day. But you know, you can take it twice a week, or as Bill says, 4,000 a day, no problem at all. Anything else, John?
How many times throughout the day did you take 4,000 units all at once?
Just all at once is fine.
Okay,
you find some pills that have more. They're small little pills, and they don't cost much, but sometimes it's good to find ones that are 1,000 or 2,000 in one pill.
With or without food?
With food.
Okay.
Vitamins should be taken with food because they're absorbed better. You have more stomach acid, and it gets absorbed.
Okay. Can I ask another question? How about vitamin E? How much of that?
Well, vitamin E, they're changing their idea on that, and I say a couple of hundred units of that is fine.
200.
And especially for older adults in the winter, a lot less risk among older adults when they took vitamin E. So a couple hundred units of vitamin E.
All right, well, thanks very much for calling, John.
Can I?
Go ahead.
Can I just ask one more? How much zinc?
Zinc you can take for a while in high doses if you think your immune system's down, but it may raise your cholesterol and so on. But older adults sometimes benefit from this if they're having issues, but certainly no more than 50 milligrams. But most people do well with about the standard amount, which is 15 milligrams.
50 milligrams per day?
Yeah.
Okay.
15.
We're going to have to let you go there, John, but thanks so much. Bye. Let's go to Mike calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Stan. I want to ask about a thing I never heard of before, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, also known as COPD. There's been a commercial on the radio at least the last week or two. I believe it's a CDC radio commercial. They're predicting 11 million deaths from this COPD. What they do on the commercial is they get about six or eight different types of coughs, and you can hardly tell a difference between them, and they just call this. Well, they give names to all the different kinds of coughs.
Well, now what was the question?
That we're familiar with, and then they got this one they call the chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, and they talk about 11 million people are expecting to die from it. So
yeah, COPD, we see it in smokers and other people, and it is a nasty little thing. There's some answers to it today. Resveratrol from red wine might be helpful. There are other things, taurine and niacin, but we do see nutraceutical companies today advertising on television as if it is a drug, and if it's proven, they make millions of dollars. The FTC lets them run around with this for 2 or 3 years, comes in and sanctions them, take big fines. The FTC then gets their pay raises out of this, so they don't want any small fish. They want to let this go till they make a lot of money. And, of course, we're just seeing a lot of this going on. I don't know why the television's accepting some of this stuff. They're supposed to pre-screen it, so it's supposed to be proven before it gets on the air. But nonetheless, we have seen all these and other things. The people, I'm sorry to say it on the air here, advertising Cortislim, now paying big fines and millions of dollars. This is stuff. I'm in that business. People hear me on the radio, too, talking for companies. Fortunately, we do things legally, but I mean, coral calcium, sea silver, all these things have suffered considerable penalties, fines, and, of course, millions of people have fallen for the sales pitch on them. And I don't want listeners to. I want you to find, that's why I keep telling you, the basics, vitamins, minerals, things like this that you can do, and we're not selling any of it, so please just avail yourself of the information.
Okay, but Mike, but this is a very real problem. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, is a very, very real problem, and as Bill says, related certainly to smoking, the emphysema, and of course we've been poisoning the lungs of our people for many years by encouraging smoking. In fact, the tobacco companies hired a man named Edward Bernays to sell women in the America how important it was to smoke if you wanted to be on the inside. As a result of that, of course, the second most common cancer in women, cancer of the lung, and then, of course, so many of them have gotten COPD. Before, that was primarily lung cancer, and COPD were primarily diseases of men. Now they're diseases of women, men and women, and all part of a very carefully crafted propaganda program financed by the drug company with the full support of our government, incidentally.
Okay, so it sounds like they're going to come out with a drug to sell us for it, right?
Yeah. By the way, so everyone understands, only one out of five people that have lung cancer are smokers. Only one out of five smokers develop lung cancer. So there's something in there that protects the other four out of five. There's vitamin C, folic acid. We go on with those. So, you know, if you're a smoker, take advantage, learn those.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks very much. And we've got one more last call here, and let's go to help. The person just dropped off, so well, let's see. Who do we have? Who's this?
Yeah, Rod. Yeah,
okay, Rod, you have a question.
Yeah, very quickly. Any better guesstimates last year or two on the contribution of HPV to male prostate cancers, percent or so?
HPV, you have to educate me on
that. What is
that?
Oh,
human papillomavirus.
Oh, I don't know that there is a big connection to that in the last year or so. I mean, the big thing with these sex hormone-related cancers, which is your prostate and breast, is to calm down your hormones, normalize them, and, of course, being better than flaxseed meal, not the oil, flaxseed. Either crush it or buy it crushed, and it normalizes your hormones, and, hey, it's good for men and women, breast and prostate.
Okay, thanks very much, Roger. And we're just going to the end of the program. Once again, of course, the websites, Knowledge of Health and Survival Vitamins. Are that the two of them?
Well, that's where the reports, a couple of the reports are, Knowledge of Health. You'll get there either way, and, of course, we're just trying to get the information to folks that are concerned about these issues.
How about AskBillSardi.com? Is that a good place
to go? That's a good place to get you all to the same place.
All right, fine. AskBillSardi.com, KnowledgeofHealth.com, SurvivalVitamins.com. We'll be right back here in just a moment to wrap up the program this evening with Bill Sardi. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and you know, I think one of the most important things we can do to for our listeners is to encourage them to begin making preparations. We do not know what the future holds. Only God knows that. But I do notice that Maria Shriver, the governor's wife here, Arnold Schwarzenegger's wife, has had a number of advertisements that she appears on television saying, you know, make preparations for emergency. Have you gone to the governor's website and, you know, seen what you should do? Do you have a list of the things you need on hand? Now, why is Maria doing that? Well, I believe that Arnold knows what the future holds, and to his credit, he is suggesting that people begin making preparations. We've never had any emphasis on being prepared for emergency conditions, at least not to this extent that I can ever remember. What do you make of that, Bill?
Well, certainly it is surprising, but we do see these predictions, and I'm telling you, watch where they're practicing something. They have these emergency drills and so on, so be aware of what's going on. It seems like what they practice comes true, and we should have been ready anyway and prepared. We live in a time when we can be prepared. There certainly were times in history when people didn't know how to, didn't have access to things. So, you know, food, medicines, these kind of things, and learn how to use them is the big thing, and learn how to be as self-sufficient, independent. We've got hand crank radio here and some hand crank lights and various things. And they're not all expensive to get. We just pick one up here, pick one up there. And of course, they're just little things, but they make my wife feel a lot more secure. That's for sure.
And I think we should all necessarily get the lists, and there are lists on the certainly all sorts of lists up on the internet. And if you need any information of that sort, we can give you the referrals. And, you know, like, you know, a soap. Who would ever think of soap or toilet paper or having certainly a sewing kit on hand? We're so used to having everything available at the store. Happen if there were a quarantine, we had to stay in our homes, you couldn't get to the store. How long would you be able to get by? Well, I think we need to begin making those preparations, and, well, we're just about out of time, Bill. I want to thank you so very, very much for being with us. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners?
Well, certainly these are interesting times. I wouldn't rely on government sources of information for your health, and I would certainly try to find other sources of information that are reliable. And, of course, it's a good time to stay healthy. We can't afford to get sick.
All right. God bless you, and thanks so much for being with us, Bill.
You bet.
Bye-bye, and certainly, Bill, is one of the supporters who keeps us on the air here. And the other thing is I would simply point out that you want to be sure that you're in a good personal relationship with our Lord, because that may be all that's got to get any of us by what lies ahead. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do hope that many of you out there will give serious consideration to the Radio Liberty family of supporters, because that's how we're able to do what we do, 5 hours every day. And reaching out, trying to make people understand that there are very... somebody in government had sent both myself and Joyce Riley copies of the hearings that were held back in 1969. I believe it was in May of 1969 when Dr. MacArthur went before the House Appropriations Committee on Military Affairs and asked for $10 million to create a new disease for which there'd be no immune response by the body, an absolutely new disease. Well, we know that they planned on making all sorts of new diseases, because although the government tried to destroy so many of the reports, we have many of them, where they actually talk about how they will create new diseases. And they asked for $10 million. They said that some people think that they shouldn't actually do this because it's another method of mass killing, but they wanted the money anyway. If you'd like to see a couple of pages from that report, we'd be glad to send it to you free of charge. You can give us a call at 1-800-5927, or you can go up on the Internet. I'm sure you pull down... Just type in into Google Dr. MacArthur, testimony, 1969, House Appropriations Committee. But if you don't have access to the Internet, we'll get that for you. There really are evil and wicked people out there, and our recurrent theme is we're involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. And, of course, we do hope many of you will go to our website and pull down our newsletters that will actually verify what we're saying. And, of course, we have a number of people from the people who come from the other dimension, who are associated with the dark spiritual forces that really are here in the world, the same spiritual forces that energized the Nazis' leadership and the communist leadership, yes, and even in Washington, D.C. So we do hope many of you will go to our website at radioliberty.com. You can listen to our internet programs there directly 3 hours a day. You can listen to the archive programs. And then you can link to our other sites, and that would be it on the American Freedom Network and on the Genesis Network. Of course, you'll tell others about our programs. We do hope that many of you out there across America will consider coming to the all-day seminar we're having, and that's going to be on the 19th of November right here in Monterey Bay. It's a Saturday program. We're going to be serving lunch. So you're going to have reservations, because we need to know how many people are going to be there. You can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we remind you we're changing our internet. We're changing our shortwave frequencies at the end of this month. We will be on 7.490. That's 7.490. Early afternoon and evening programs, and 5.835 for the evening program. And then we ask, of course, to pray for America, to pray for revival, to pray for our leaders and our ministers, but Please remember to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so until we're again, may the Lord be with you. Beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and this is behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion, to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please do not call unless we ask for calls, because we have this on the line, our good friend Dr. David Kennedy. And Dr. Kennedy's been on the front lines of this battle to try to make the American people understand that there's an organized, coordinated effort across America, people at the highest echelon, to poison. That sounds like a pretty ridiculous statement, and yet, if you understand that the Nazis used water fluoridation in the occupied areas, that the communists used fluoridation in the Eastern Europe part of Europe when they controlled it, and they used fluoridated water in their concentration camps in the Gulag, that has been known for a long period of time that water fluoridation, fluoridated water, has an effect on the mind. In fact, if you look at what's in so many of our psychotropic drugs, Prozac and other similar drugs, they're fluoride compounds. So we know that water fluoridation certainly lowers fertility. It lowers the intelligence. It has an impact on the bone. It softens the bone. It's associated with cancers. It has an effect on the thyroid. It produces dental fluorosis. It attacks the endocrine system. It increases the incidence of heart disease and of Down's disease, and lowers the testosterone, or at least the sperm count in men. All of these things are well known. The information's up on the Internet. And the fact that most of you have never heard that is simply a reflection of all that exists today over what the American people think. And with that as an introduction, Dr. David Kennedy, thank you so much for being with us again this evening.
Good evening, Dr. Stan. It's a great pleasure to be here.
Well, now, there's some exciting things have come out.
Yes.
We were talking last while you were telling me about a recent article in Time Magazine, of all places. Would you like to talk a little bit about that? I read the article, the most amazing article I've read, you know, in one of the establishment publications for a long time.
We've been waiting for this article to come out for 50 years. And finally, are out and said that I disagree with the benign face that the dentist had been painting on the fluoride issue. But basically, seems to be scientists, all of the scientists, engineers, toxicologists of the EPA have called for an immediate moratorium because it's causing cancer.
Immediate moratorium on right?
All fluoride schemes.
Right.
The fluoride in the food, fluoride in the water, fluoride in pesticide use. The EPA has just recently approved, over the objection of their use of sulfural fluoride, wintermite pesticide, on meats and vegetables and fruit that are imported to the United States from some other country. Well, what happens is that when you do that, then all of the meat, which has never had fluoride in it, now becomes a really worse in the toothpaste. So you end up with exposure from multiple sources. When you add up the total number of milligrams of fluoride you get a day, you got enough to cause arthritis. Well, gee, 60 million Americans have arthritis.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. David Kennedy, and this is an amazing story. Could this really be true? Would there really be evil people who'd want to poison the American people and poison our children? We'll be back with Dr. David Kennedy and give you the sources where you can check out the facts yourself, right here at Radio Liberty. Well, I guess this evening, Dr. David Kennedy, and David, why don't you pick up on that?
Fluoride is always been a scam, but what's happening is finally the scientists are getting their voice heard at least a little bit. But they got time, and they couched it like it's a ham. Well, I've been all over these United States. I've been to Worcester, Massachusetts, to Ben, Arkansas, trying to help people stop fluoridation in their communities. And, you know, I don't get paid for this. I'm just doing it because I'm an American, and I know what it's doing to our country. It's destroying the lives of people in the communities. It causes high blood levels of lead. That makes children stupid and violent. And so, but they basically started off talking to an old retired dentist that somebody put a dead rat in his mailbox because he's old. These are really angry people.
Now, wait a minute. This was a 70-year-old dentist who was pushing water fluoridation.
He was the head of the water fluoridation program, yeah.
Fluoridate Bellingham's water. My goodness, these crazies out there, they don't want water fluoridation. And yet, all of the evidence shows that water fluoridation doesn't cut down significantly, really at all, on dental cavities in children. And this is basically what this article says. But even more than that, of course, they don't stress the disastrous effects this has on the health and the heart and the mind, every aspect of the human being.
And the community. You know, don't forget, you know, we live in a society that my granddad had a 1949 Chevrolet. There was no lock on it. He turned the key one notch and then threw the key away. He never carried keys. He didn't want keys. But, you know, people steal cars. We got transponders in them so you can find them when they steal them now. You know, this is what happened to America. It went from a place where you could leave your door unlocked and trust your neighbor to where people come in and beat baseball bat for no particular good reason. So, you know, it that kind of behavior is induced by exposing people to lead. And that's what fluoride does. There's lead in the fluoride substance, and for some reason, nobody knows why, blood level of lead in children goes through the ceiling. It doubles in ordinary, in average children, but if you happen to be Hispanic, it went a fourfold increase, and the black children had a 600% increase in high blood levels of lead. So,
well, of course, now we know, for instance, that in areas where they fluoridate the water, acid, which contains not only fluoride, but lead and arsenic. Why are they adding lead and arsenic to our water supply?
Because they can't pour this on the ground. They can't. It's from the pollution scrubbers of the phosphate mining industry. So they have no place to get rid of it. If you wouldn't say, yes, let me have your pollution in my water, they would have to pay big dollars to dispose of it at a hazardous waste dump. So what they do is they spend a few dollars to buy a few politicians and smooze up in Washington.
Hold that thought right there.
Yeah.
Well, Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Dr. David Kennedy, and he's simply pointing out that if they fluoridate, why you're going to find a high... And, of course, part of that probably is because most cities use hydrofluorosilicic acid, which comes from the scrubbers and the fertilizer plants, and it contains not only fluoride... It contains lead, helium, and cadmium, and all sorts of heavy metals that are terribly, terribly toxic. But some people think that the fluoride, if there's any soldered pipes in the house, will tend to dissolve the lead out of the solder and carry that into the bloodstream. Is that one of the possibilities?
It is, but there's an even more insidious process, that there's a patent on hydrofluorosilicic acid, and it's for extracting lead from brass. And so, you know, anybody got a faucet? What do you think those faucets are made of? And what characteristic of this stuff makes it able to take lead out of brass? I thought that was impossible. It does it because it attaches to lead. And so where the lead is, it doesn't make any difference whether it's the solder or whether it's a little dust that was in the food or whether it was, you know, someplace else. This stuff becomes a chelator, a facilitator of lead getting into the body. And that Dr. Masters did, 450,000 children. Understand, that's more than 10 times more children than the study that they did on tooth decay. So we have 450,000 children showing that if you put hydrofluorosilicic acid, not natural fluoride, not sodium fluoride that's pure, but hydrofluorosilicic acid, it caused it to skyrocket. When you do that, you end up with stupid children, learning disorders, violent behavior. Looks like America today, doesn't it? Is that what you would do to your country? And would you intentionally damage the citizens like that?
90% of the cities that fluoridate the water use the hydrofluorosilicic acid, and the people have no idea what they're putting in the water.
Then what happens is once you do that, then that stuff ends up in your Coca-Cola that you bought that was manufactured in Kansas City or New York or Los Angeles. It ends up in the cereal that you bought from Grand Rapids, Michigan, or Battle Creek, Michigan, because those are fluoridated cities. This stuff doesn't go away. It's not magic. When you put it in the water, eat or drink anything that was made with that in a nice, healthy dose of raw, untreated hazardous waste. And that's what the real crime is that it's just a little tiny bit. Only the bartender is talking about a little tiny bit. I just want a little tiny bit of this. No. Grams, kilograms, picograms, nanograms, micrograms, pounds. Ounces, and there is a whole heck of a lot of fluoride in a milligram. That's a lot of fluoride, and that's in every single quart. And so you end up, how many quarts of water are you going to drink in a lifetime? Well, you know.
And it's cumulative, isn't it?
If you drink a milligram right now, a half of that milligram stays in your bones the rest of your life. So when you look at bones, bone cancer, when you look at bones, that's where the people that drink fluoride for a period of 25, 30 years have a hip fracture. And when you grind their bones up and look at them, there's a ton of fluoride in there. If you don't ever get exposed to fluoride, you live in a country that doesn't poison their citizens, there may be 200 or 300 parts per million fluoride in your bones. If you live in a Florida community in the United States, there's between 3,000 and 8,000 parts per million fluoride in your bones. Well, your toothpaste is only 1,000 parts per million. So here's the toothpaste that kills the germs on your teeth, and your bones have higher levels. Was that going to make your bone dead? Well, it certainly sure. So what happens is it's like a limb on a tree. If the tree is alive, the hurricane comes along, it flops around a lot, but, you know, the tree stays up. But it doesn't. But if it's got dead limbs, they break off in a minute. And that's what happens to your hip, is that your bones fill up with fluoride, the cells that would make the bone strong die, and so the bone, it fractures. There were so many kids in Little League suffering from torn ligaments. It also accumulates in the ligaments. And broken ankles, broken wrists from sliding into home base, that they were thinking they're going to have to close down Little League because of the multiple injuries these kids were sustaining. Well, I mean, you know, do they play baseball any different now than they did in 1940? I don't think so. But they've got a whole lot more injuries for exactly the same behavior than years ago. Well, they're poisoning the kids. It's not a good idea to have high levels of fluoride in your bone when you're a kid because it gives you up when you're old age. My wife and I did a documentary in China. The People's Republic of China invited us there and showed us how to water for many of their citizens, and where they also should, they were honest, they showed us where they failed in. These people are crippled.
And I think what's so interesting is that in China and India, they're trying to get the fluoride out of the water, and here they insist on putting it in. Why would you do something like that unintentionally. Europe has, there are only one or two countries over there that the rest of them have tried it or never would do it because they realized how toxic it was. So, and the rate of dental caries in children is lower in Europe than it is here in the United States. Where we're,
that's
why
true.
Would that be?
Well, because they have a, the fluoridation is a fake dental health program, and that's where another crime. Here we have money that's being sucked out of the government coffers in the citizens' pockets to buy hazardous waste from Florida and truck it to your water supply, allegedly to benefit the children, demonstrably to benefit the industry that generates the hazardous waste. And so money that should have been spent on buying every kid in the community a toothbrush so that when they start the day at school, they all have a toothbrush, they can brush their teeth with saliva. That's what God wanted the teeth to be covered with anyway. And so they could start the day brushing with saliva. They don't have to have a sink or go spit out. You get the scum off the teeth. They don't rot. So we could have an effective dental care program that costs 10 cents a year. And no, we've got the $1 million program that costs lives. And so we've got a fake dental care program. That's what the real crime is. And that's why Europe, which does have programs in place to teach children to brush in school and teach people how to take care of their teeth, has a lower tooth decay rate. Their tooth decay rate has dropped greater than the United States. And the Times article said there were four countries in Europe, and I've got a letter off to them asking what four countries, because I only know of two. Ireland, which is about 60% fluoridated, has some of the worst teeth in Europe, and England, which is 10% fluoridated. There's only a few cities in England that have fluoridation, and they have about the second worst set of teeth. And then when you go to the continent of Europe, there's no fluoridation practiced on that I'm aware of. One of the last countries to fluoridate, Basel, I think, had some fluoridation, stopped it about 2 years ago. But that was just an experiment in one town. Here we got an experiment for the whole darn nation. We're spending $100 million a year to have liars from the Center for Disease Control come out and tell everybody how good and safe. And it says right here in this article, you know, that the Center for Disease Control is one of the 10 best things ever invented. I mean, you know, come on. You know, that's like saying, you know, that... I don't know. I'm ludicrous in saying that one of the 10 best public health achievements, fluoridation, because that's just not true. You know, the more information comes out about how bad it is, the bigger the lie gets.
But I think the important thing, David, is for people to understand that even the Centers for Disease Control will admit it doesn't do any good to swallow it. If fluoride does anything at all, it is by topical application. And, of course, you know, you're not going to get enough, bactericidal, and it's really the bactericidal effect of the fluoride. Fluoride is an excellent bactericide. It kills bacteria. It kills insects. That's why they spray it on lettuce, that's fruits and vegetables and all of these things. And, of course, it's an excellent pesticide. That's why you have it in rat poison and gopher poison. And if you want to kill a pest around the house, you put out a fluoride compound and it kills them. So why would you want to be ingesting a poison? And that's exactly what it is. And, you know, but even the CDC and, of course, the American Dental Association admit fluoride does not act by swallowing it. So would you want to pick up on that thought, I thought?
What I tell people that have a little trouble with the word ingestion versus topical, I say it's like sunblock. You put it on the skin. And if I said, oh, let's drink this stuff to try to keep from getting sunburned, you'd think I was an idiot. Well, that's what they're saying with fluoride, is that because it works topically, that we should put it in the water so everybody could drink it. You know, let's put sunblock in the water, too. Then they can drink it, and they won't get sunburned. And, you know, cut down on that skin cancer. You say, this is ludicrous. Nobody's talking about drinking something that works topically. If you have poison ivy, you got a little itch, you know, you want to put some calamine lotion on that. Well, they'll drink it. That's crazy.
But, of course, the thing is that none of these things are anywhere near as poisonous as fluoride, because fluoride poisons every organ system in the human body. That is what's so frightening, that it lowers the fertility. It poisons the reproductive system. It lowers the intelligence. It attacks the brain. And what? Just pick up on some of the things we know that it does, because you've studied all of these things.
You mentioned it poisons the thyroid. Well, you're the doctor. Tell them what happens when you poison the thyroid. You end up with children that, you end up with adults that are obese. And we have the stuff on TV, you know, they're passing laws. You can't sue McDonald's because, you know, we got a whole nation of fat people. Well, you know, if you destroy the body's ability to burn nutrients, Of course it's going to get fat. You can eat it at 100 calories a day and it's going to end up fat if it can't burn it. And that's exactly what's happening. And so the obesity, there was a map in the New York Times, I guess it was, and if you just look at the map of obesity, it's the map of fluoridation in the United States. And that doesn't mean you're not getting too much fluoride in non-fluoridated areas. People like to be smug and say, oh, like, I live in San Diego, parts per million fluoride in the water. Well, that's still enough to damage your thyroid. You know, and if you're using the fluoridated toothpaste, you're getting too much fluoride anyway.
And of course, but we find it in our diet drinks. We find it in our Coke. We find it certainly in our cereal. We find it in our vegetables. We find it in our baby foods. We're getting massive doses of fluoride, a deadly poison every day. And of course, EC, protecting us, the NIH, the EPA. Well, I'll tell you, the EPA scientists, 7,000 of them, just stopped all fluoridation. But other than that article in Time magazine, I haven't seen it mentioned anyplace. Have you out there in the audience heard about it? If you haven't heard it, our programs, or perhaps even on the internet, but this has been totally blacked out by the government, because there is an agenda, ladies and gentlemen. They're poisoning our children. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and somebody was asking, oh, what was the date of that Time magazine article? Do you recall?
October 16th.
What was that?
October 16th.
October
this
week.
Okay.
It's October 16th, the David said.
Came out Monday.
All right, fine. And I have, well, now would it be the 16th or would it be the 24th?
16th.
October the 16th, then. So anybody would like a copy of that article, we're going to make copies of that and make them available for our listeners if you want to see it. You must understand that this is one of the better articles, even though they certainly come out with a lot of the arguments that are used by the pro-water fluoridation people. At least they will admit that in many of the cities that have been fluoridating for a long time, 80% of the poorer children have severe dental cavities.
You know, I got an email today from Shirley Jacobson, who's her email's retired lady. She's up in Bellingham, Washington, and she's trying to keep fluoride out of the water supply of Bellingham. The citizens have voted it out already a couple of times, and the dentists are back. You know, they're trying to get it in there. And she said that they were able to get the public access TV to play some television programs, but then the dentist hired a big PR firm to put together a thing about how good fluoride was, and she sent it to me so I could see what they're saying. It is chock full of false information. It says stuff like it makes the enamel harder. No, fluoride makes the enamel softer. It says it makes the enamel more resistant to tooth decay. Give me a reference for that, because there are no scientists in the world today that are still making that claim. But here, these dentists go out and they pay a big dollars to PR firms to go out and tell the citizens false information, and I don't think that's an ethical behavior.
But we're not talking about ethics, we're talking about an agenda. The tragedy is, I don't think the average dentist has any idea what he's doing. He's simply following, you know, his leaders, you know, like the children of the of Hamlet. What was it, the Pied Piper of Hamlet, where the Pied Piper led the children to their destruction? That's just what they're doing with the dentists. Only the dentists are leading our children and this entire society. You cannot poison an entire society for a generation without having serious health effects. This increases the incidence of heart disease, and all of this is up on the internet. Would you like to talk a little bit about the website fluoridealert.org and the counterpart fluoridealert.org, and why the ADA put up a website with exactly the same name except a com instead of org?
Yeah, because fluoridealert.org is a website that Paul Connett, his wife Ellen, and his son Mark put together that basically does a wonderful job of bringing together the science. They're the ones that I learned that there's just hundreds of studies from Europe showing that when you stop fluoridation, tooth decay goes down, because the Russians used to make the Soviet bloc countries fluoridate, and so when the Russians there left, like East Germany, it was fluoridated. When it reunited with West Germany, it's against the law in Germany to fluoridate, so they stopped. And all of a sudden, their tooth decay declined. So there's all kinds of studies showing. And so he put together this website, not just the tooth decay, but the cancer link. He has a wonderful review of the that he's furnished for the National Institute of Health that's reviewing the National Academy of Science rather that's reviewing fluoride right now as we speak, and so they did a wonderful review of the science showing it's linked to cancer. So it really worries the dentist because they don't have any science on their side. So they built a website that's called fluoridealert.com, which is full of the fluff about it's recommended by, which is the American Dental Association.
Hold that thought right there, David. We'll be right back here in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening, Dr. David Kennedy, who's been on the front lines of this battle to try to tell the American people that they're children. And so he's pointing out that there is a website. It's called afluoride.org. fluoridealert.org. It's put up by a professor of chemistry and his friend. That gives you the links to all the scientific studies. Well, you see, the dentist science on their side. So they put up a site, fluoridealert.com. So if you don't remember and you get to the wrong site, you're going to get the ADA site. The CDC recommends it. The NIH recommends it. The EPA recommends it. Doesn't mention that the scientists work there. Say, stop this. You're poisoning the people. The bureaucrats, the government officials who run this, say, oh, this is fine. Go ahead and fluoridate. Every scientist has ever pointed out how bad it is, but those from the government, of course, go right along. So pick up this story there, David. This is the most incredible thing, fluoridealert.org, fluoridealert.com. I challenge you, if you're in the audience, go to those websites, get the information, take it to your dentist, and ask, why would the ADA put up the website with name only com instead of org? Where is their science show that this is really safe? Where are the scientific studies that show it's harmful? You pull the studies down, put together a folder, and ask your dentist, why do you want to hurt children? You're making it, David.
You know, what people don't realize, they say, well, why don't we sue them? We have sued them. And it's been all the way to the Supreme Court in three different states. And the dentists were allowed to show up with all their experts and all that stuff, and that I'd like to quote Dr. Flaherty, Professor Flaherty, who was a judge in Pennsylvania. He said, it seems to him that all the advocates for fluoridation do is denigrate those people who are opposed to it, and we're able to show him no valid science. And he sits on the National Academy of Science panel, and so that his court and that the court in Indiana and the court in Texas, all three determined that fluoridation was harmful. Two of the courts determined that it caused cancer. But when it went to the Supreme Court in those three states, the Supreme Court of those three states said that because of the Police Powers Act of the Constitution, the state is allowed to poison the citizens or add a substance to the water supply that causes adverse effects if it deems it necessary. So, you know, if the state deems it necessary to shoot you, it can, because it's got the police powers. Well, you know, there is, years later, 20 years later, there was another Supreme Court decision that said that the use of the police powers must be prudent. Well, I don't think anybody would say today that it's reasonable and prudent to cause children to behave, have learning disorders, but that's basically what the police powers allows the government to do, is to damage the health of the citizens if they deem it necessary. But, you know, when you look at this dichotomy between Fluoride Alert and fluoride.org and fluoridealert.com, is that the only legitimate reason for a company to put up what's called a mirrored website, or a website that basically sucked up some of the web domain using a name almost identical but slightly different, was to deceive. The only reason for doing that, there cannot be a legitimate reason for doing that. And why would they want to deceive you? Is because if you happen to stumble upon fluoridealert.org, when you can find it, just type in the word fluoridation, it'd be one of the top 10, then you would basically be concerned. Well, they don't want you to be concerned. They don't want you to ask them pesky questions like they did in those court trials. One of the advocates for fluoridation, what valid science do you have showing it's been, that is valid by today's standards? That means the investigators were blinded, it was randomized, controlled. The answer is none. So when you get these dentists, I was just, that Bellingham thing, that they had this big ad on TV saying it's been proven safe, yada, yada, yada. Well, if it's been proven safe, then they would ask for that same question. Ask the EPA, what studies were you able to identify of hydrofluorophilic acid? And that they replied, mind any. So it goes from thousands of studies to none in a blink if you know how to ask the question. You want to at least prove hydrofluorophilic acid consumption of it, swallowing of it, was safe. And the answer when you ask a scientist who knows they're going to have to be testifying under him, not one.
And, of course, this is the great tragedy, ladies and gentlemen, that this is going on all across America. And people say, this couldn't be happening. This is madness, you know. If this was happening, right, why would we be reading about it in all of our newspapers? And, no, you would not be reading about it in your newspapers. That's what's so exciting, that at least there's one issue of Time magazine that's telling you the truth. And if you'd like a copy of that, I will make a copy and send it to you. We think it's so important. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927, or go out and buy a copy of Time magazine, or go up on their website and pull it down. I mean, it's all about Bellingham, Washington, the fight that's going on there. But the fight that's going on there is the fight for your children. And ladies and gentlemen, they're poisoning our children. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this evening, Dr. David Kennedy, and we're talking about the recent article in Time magazine, which brought out the amazing fact that the union that represents 7,000 employees of the Environmental Protection Agency in Washington, D.C., have come out. Just, we've got to stop all water fluoridation. We've got to stop all exposure, 100% of the exposure to the fluoride. And really, it wasn't picked up at all, except in this Time magazine article, which I think is really so exciting. Of course, a lot of people will not read it. A lot of people will read it and not really stop and analyze what it's saying. Because it's pointing out that when you fluoridate the water in major cities, you still have a high degree of dental caries. Well, I thought this was supposed to do dental caries. Well, the trouble is, it doesn't do away with dental caries. In fact, in countries where they don't fluoridate the water, you have a lower incidence of dental caries. But the most significant thing is not to even argue the issue of dental caries. What fluoridated water do to the mind, to the bones, to the endocrine system, to the fertility, to the thyroid, to the joints, and of course, you know, nobody ever wants to talk about that, and that's really the issues. Fluoride is a deadly poison for bacteria, for insects, for rats, for human beings, and we're putting it in our water, and we're giving it to our children. Well, David, additionally, of course, they they were even giving our children fluoride drops and giving women fluoride drops, too.
They're still doing it. I had a lady call me just today and wanted her pediatrician wanted her to start taking drops because she's pregnant. And I said, you know, this guy obviously had went to school a while ago, but he hadn't been keeping up. I told her there's a book you can get. There's the most frequently checked out book in the public library. It's called The Physician's Desk Reference. I said, go get a copy of that, check it out, if they'll let you, and take it to the doctor, because there's no recommendation for fluoride in pregnant women. And the Food and Drug Administration, and you know, these are people that used to advocate exposure to fluoride. Matter of fact, during the congressional investigation of 2000, there was a series of questions back and forth between Ken Calvert and the Food and Drug Administration asking specific questions. Is it what fluoride-containing substance? The first question was, is fluoride, when used to prevent tooth decay, a drug registration? And say, yes, it is. So that means that water fluoridation is putting a drug in the water supply. So that's number one. And number two, with what fluoride-containing drug intended to be ingested has been approved by the Food and Drug Administration.
Hold that thought right there.
To prevent tooth decay.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Dr. Kennedy was just saying that there was certainly an exchange of a person in the FDA. Fluoridated water, is the fluoride you put in water considered a drug? And the FDA said, yes, fluoride in water is a drug, and this is the next question, David.
And so what fluoride-containing drug intended to be ingested or swallowed has been approved by the Food and Drug Administration to treat or prevent tooth decay? And they replied, none, and that there are no new drug applications on file. You hear how hard it is to get drugs approved? Well, apparently, unless you just put, you know, some toxic waste in a pill and give it to a kid, then, oh, well, that's approved. So it's all politics. You know, that's what the FDA is about. It's not about taking care of the kids. It's about being politically correct. And so the dentists like that stuff, so let's tell them it's okay.
All right, fine. Well, you know, I think it's so vitally important that people understand that, you know, never be ingested. I mean, it's dangerous. When you use fluoridated toothpaste, you're going to get a certain amount of fluoride. The reason that fluoridated toothpaste works is because it kills the bacteria. Dental caries is a bacterial disease. And actually, if anybody wants the documentation on that, that's in our syllabus, where we have the government documents on that from the CDC, and they admit dental caries is a bacterial disease. Why does fluoridated toothpaste do such a good job? Why? Because it kills the bacteria, of course. Well, why would you want to be ingesting a deadly poison? And, of course, there are other ways to kill the bacteria. So to control dental caries, you don't have to use a deadly poison to do it. You know, but unless you want to go to special trouble, most people don't want to. What a convenient thing is just put a little dab on your toothpaste and you brush your teeth. But, of course, what you're doing is taking a deadly poison into your mouth, and a certain amount of that is absorbed. Would that be a fair statement, David?
Yes, but let me poke a little hole in that for you.
All right, go ahead.
Is that there's a new study out done by a former advocate for fluoridation, and he used three different levels of fluoride toothpaste, and he had another kind of toothpaste that it put all of the ingredients in it, that no fluoride, but exactly what's found in your saliva. It's the calcium, phosphate, and magnesium, and all the minerals that are normally found in saliva. And then he had these kids brush with this product for a period of time, and then they measured the amount of tooth decay. And what they found was on the fluoridated toothpaste looked just about like the kids that used no toothpaste at all, and that the kids that had the toothpaste with no active ingredient at all, but the kids that had the toothpaste that had the active ingredients that are found in saliva had a tremendous reduction in toothpaste. It was more than four times than the fluoridated toothpaste. And so, you know, what does that mean? It means that God was right when she put stuff in your saliva, because the teeth are coated in saliva, don't decay. And so the key to having healthy teeth is to have healthy saliva and brush it thoroughly. And so when they want to talk about all these studies showing tooth decay is effective, it's not very effective. There are things that are much more effective. There's another study on babies that are, you know, put to bed with a bottle all the time, so they get terribly rotted teeth from doing that. And twice a month, they dab a little bit of iodine on their teeth in the form of providone, which is the ammoniated iodine. You can get it at any drugstore. The Q-tip, don't let the baby swallow it. And they had an enormous reduction in the antithesis of baby bottle tooth decay over the controls. And they had four different levels of fluoride in the controls also. So there's lots of things that work better at preventing tooth decay, because it's just germs. I mean, knock the germs off the teeth, for one thing. If the scum doesn't get to sit on the teeth, it can't rot the tooth. So, you know, knock the scum off. One, two, is that you can basically harden the enamel with the ingredients found in saliva, and you can kill with something that's relatively safe. You can use baking soda.
Okay.
You can put it in the cookies, then kill a kid.
Okay, fine. Well, let's go to, we've got Stephen, Steve is calling from New York. Hi, Steve. Do you have a question or comment?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Your first hour is fabulous. I'm calling, listening to Victory 102 out of Cherry Valley in the Albany, New York area. You know, before I get to my question, 102 is playing music while your show's going on in the second hour, and it's very disturbing. I can't hear the show, but I know you're talking about fluoride.
We are, and basically they're playing music at the same time?
Yes, they have technical difficulties. They probably have no one monitoring the station, and it's very upsetting when I want to hear your second hour.
I'm terribly sorry. Well, we'll have to give them a call tomorrow.
Obviously there's nobody there,
and there's a computer glitch.
Right, I want to bring that to your attention.
But the first hour came through all right?
Yes, the first hour came out fabulous. It was a great show.
Okay, fine. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, now you're talking about fluoride, right. I understand, because I can't hear the show right now. Now, is there a toothpaste you can buy that doesn't have fluoride?
Absolutely, and I have had hundreds of people tell me, I couldn't find a toothpaste. And I said, you know how Nancy Reagan said, just say no to drugs? Well, you've been going to the drugstore. What you need to do to find a toothpaste that doesn't have fluoride in it, you need to go to a store that has health in the name. So if you go to a health food store, all the health food stores in every city I've ever been in have several different varieties of toothpaste. The toothpaste I like best are the ones that have no sodium lauryl sulfate in them either, and that would be something like Weleda, Sweden. And, Weleda makes a licorice salt toothpaste, which will kill germs just as good as anything. And, you know, like, why don't pickles rot? You know, they're in vinegar and salt, for heaven's sake. You know, of course they don't rot.
Okay.
And so that's what I tell people to do. Go to your
health food. Okay, thank you very much for the advice. Love your show, Dr. Stan.
Thanks very much, Stephen. Okay. Let me just comment that we do actually carry a book by Dr. Kennedy called How to Save Your Teeth. Is that it?
That's correct.
How to Save Your Teeth. We carry Dr.
Where can you purchase that?
Right through Stan.
Right. It's available through our ministry.
Oh, I see. Thank you very much.
God bless. Bye-bye. And we'll open up the lines for calls. If you're out there across America, would like to talk to Dr. David Kennedy, 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 8295. This is such an important issue because, of course, we must know how to take care of ourselves. And if we rely upon the dentist, if we rely even on the doctors on this issue, the leadership of the AMA and the leadership of the ADA have an agenda, and they're pushing water fluoridation, which is terribly harmful, and the average doctor and the average dentist has no idea what this is really all about. Now, there are a number of excellent websites, and of course, the fluoridealert.org, fluoridealert.org. is an excellent fluoridealert.com put up by the ADA to confuse people. It, of course, is going to give you all the lies. But you have a website, the IAO. Is it MT? Isn't it?
Yes, .org or .com. We bought both the domain names. So IAOMT.
And that's the International Association of Oral and Medical Toxicology?
That's right. That's
all right, fine. And there, of course, you can get information on where you can get dentists who will take out your dental fillings and dentists who really are aware of what's going on. And there are good dentists across America. But, of course, in some areas, if you speak out against fluoridation and you're a dentist, they will come after you.
They try to intimidate you. The people don't have so little knowledge of what they're doing. They basically are out there telling the public what they learned 25, 30 years ago in school, and that's not correct. They were lied to by the dental schools because the dental schools are accredited by the ADA, and to their credit, many of these people don't even know that they're telling falsehoods. But what happens is that nevertheless, they still end up deceiving the patients.
And I think really what's so frightening is the effect this has on them.
Yes.
The effect it has on the, on the reproduction has certainly on, on every... Ed is calling us from Pennsylvania. Hi, Ed, do you have a question?
Yes. Okay, I live here along the Delaware River. Our town doesn't have fluoride in the water, but is it still possible that there's like a fluoride... secondhand fluoride flowing in the water?
It might not even be in the water. Is that you get secondhand fluoride anytime you buy a beer that was brewed in New York City? In Pennsylvania, if you get some beverage or food that was processed in Philadelphia, you get fluoride in so many. Any food that's made in those cities that's processed food is going to have fluoride in it, and also. That they've allowed enormous levels of pesticide residue. And there's a new permission: is imported meats from other countries that come into this country it must be fumigated. It's by law they have to fumigate them. And what they've just done is they've approved a sulfural fluoride, which is a termite pesticide, which leaves a high residue level, about 25% as much in the meat as that was found in toothpaste. Well, you know, if you swallow toothpaste, you get a stomach ache. Well, what's going to happen when you get that nice steak from Argentina? You're going to get a nice stomach ache when you eat that because you're going to get a nice dose of fluoride. It's in all of the ketchup that we've tested, all of the tomato paste that we've tested. It's in the outer layer of the potato, and three high. Wine, as a result, ends up particularly high if you buy an American wine. The only wines that we found some really high-end wines, and we found some fairly low-end wines, fluoride in them. And that the wines from Europe typically have very little, or because Europe has a standard that they have more than a half a part per million all pesticides combined, and fluoride is a pesticide. You know, you want to hear, oh, it's not a pesticide. Yes, it is, and that's what they say in Europe is that all pesticides combined can't have more than a half a part per million. So terribly overdosed with fluoride. If you type in America overdosed, you'll come up with Lynn Landis's treatise on America overdosed, and she goes in great litany about all the different sources of fluoride that you're exposed to, and you cannot avoid it. There's a TV station came to my office a couple years ago here in San Diego and said, well, Dr. Kennedy, you say fluoride's in everything. I said, well, yeah, it is. Well, we want you to measure some stuff for us. And I said, I can do that, but I'm not going to. Because if I did that, then the liars would simply say, I'd fudge the data. I said, I'm not going to tell you what to get. You just go, you send your reporter out and send them into the grocery store and buy, you know, half a dozen items. I bet you don't find one that doesn't have fluoride in it. And they didn't. They bought Coca-Cola, Minute Maid orange juice, Fruit Loops, and all of them. And Gerber's Graduate Berry Punch. Gerber's Graduate Berry Punch was three, almost four parts per million. Fruit Loops was 2.2. The Coca-Cola and the Minute Maid orange juice were one. So if you're in America and you don't know how to look at food and it's not on the label, they're not going to tell you, you're getting enough of fluoride. There's just no way. It's a crime in our country.
And we actually we put together a syllabus, Ed. It's called The Hidden Agenda. And one of the things we have there is simply a list of all the things that you'll find fluoride in. It's just about almost everything from, you know, from your cereals, riot drinks, and to your sodas, and your, certainly it's on your vegetables that you get. They use it to spray on your lettuce. Why? Because it's a wonderful pesticide. What does that do?
It's probably in milk, too.
Right.
You know what?
I don't know about milk.
Well, it's not supposed to be in milk, but we've measured in milk, and that what happens is commercial milk, we found a fluoride in almost every brand of commercial milk we've tested. And we sent these brands off, these tests off to a friend of mine at Cornell University, Leonard Krug, an expert in fluoride, and said, Leonard, you told me there was no fluoride in milk. And I keep getting these fluoride milk, and that we measured one kind of milk, and it didn't have any fluoride in it, so we sent that along, too. And it's organic milk, and so milk that's raised with organic standards, and we sent it to Dr. Krug. And Dr. Krug was able to determine that the reason there's fluoride in the milk, it's a residue of an antibiotic that's given to the animals, is that there's just all kinds of drugs on the market, the pharmaceuticals, that have fluoride in them. Most of them, you know the names of them, Prozac, Fen-Phen, Fenfluramine, all these neuroactive, psychoactive drugs, as well as many antibiotics, have a fluoride-containing molecule in it, and it was coming, it was basically drugs they were giving the cattle that was coming out in the milk, because if the cattle was drinking fluoridated water, it wouldn't come out in the milk, because when God decided what to feed the baby, he made the breast filter out all of the fluoride. Is that you can poison the mother almost to death with fluoride, and very little, if any, comes out in the breast milk. And that is why the American Academy of Pediatrics has recommended that infants be exposed to no fluoride, because all of the research indicates that a baby that is breastfed has a better chance of surviving the first year of life with a better IQ and a better growth and development than a baby that's fed on the bottle. And they keep trying to figure out, well, what's the difference between a breast and the bottle? The big difference is that if you're making a bottle up with tap water, a substantial, the infant mortality rate's higher, the IQ is lower, the baby is getting a dose that gives a significant, every 11 days, that with the amount of fluoride that's in the formula and the water, that every 11 days they would consume a dose that would be lethal with fluoride if they drank it in one day.
And of course the thing is that the CDC recommends that these children don't get any fluoride until 6 months of age. How do you avoid the fluoride when they put it, the fluoride and the lead and the cadmium and the arsenic in the water?
You don't. And even the advocates for fluoride, the American Academy of Pediatrics, said that at the age of 6 months to 3 years, that they recommend only a quarter of a milligram of fluoride. That's the amount that's found in one teacup. And that when all other sources are deficient, and that means that child doesn't brush their teeth, they don't have fluoridated mouthwash, they don't eat, they don't eat potatoes, they don't eat raisins, they don't have Fruit Loops, they don't have Wheaties, they don't have, you know, when all other sources are deficient, well, there's no such thing as a fluoride. It's kind of like having an arsenic deficiency. Think about it. You know, your kid is 2 years, 11 months old. They've been out running around in the hot summer sun all day, and they come to the door about noon, and they say, Mommy, I'd like a glass of water. And you look at it and say, no, I'm sorry, honey. You had a glass of Minute Maid orange juice this morning, and you've already had your fluoride for the day. Come back tomorrow.
I mean, we live in a world gone mad, Ed, and you've just got to help us get the information out. If you have access to the Internet, go to fluoridealert.org, pull down those articles, and take them to your dentist and say, why are you poisoning our children?
Well, actually, the dentist is the wrong person to take it to. You should get behind the EPA scientist. Write a letter to your congressman. Is just a willing dupe. The real people that got to stand up and protect you are the people you elected. You paid from D.C. You're paying their salary every day to be working for you. You can go on the Internet and type in, who's my congressman, and it'll tell you.
Okay. Anyway, thanks very much. Anything else, Ed?
Yeah, I noticed in the supermarkets in the baby section they'll have a gall to sell bottled fluoridated water.
Well, the thing is that until we can convince the American people what's going on, this is going to continue. But this is one of the best issues we have to convince the American people that there really are evil and wicked people working at the highest levels of our government who are poisoning our children. Help us get the word out, will you, Ed?
Yes, I will.
God bless. Okay, in just a moment here before we wrap up the program. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Jack. Jack, the subject?
Well, a quick comment. On a toothpaste at a Kroger supermarket chain, which is out of Ohio. I don't know if they're out east or out. We found that to be a really good one. Then, also, relative to meat, there's a gal up in Wisconsin, North Star Bison, northstarbison.com. I finally got some of their bison burger. She grows it on organic grasses. She uses homeopathic and herbs if her cattle need it. None of these veterinarian things. And it's just absolutely superb. I wanted to ask Dr. Kennedy if taxpayer money is funding water fluoridation throughout the country.
The $100 million a year as a minimum just for the propaganda machine. And that, yes, you're paying for this. You're paying for the, it's terrible.
Breach the public trust whenever the government takes taxpayer money and uses it very unwisely, as they are obviously.
Jack, they've been doing this since 1950 when the U.S. Public Health Service was headed by a lawyer from Alcoa, and Alcoa is one of the biggest fluoride polluters in the country, and he controlled they hired a man named Edward Bernay to put forward a propaganda program to convince the American people that we should be fluoridating our drinking water. And this is the same man, same Edward Bernay, that convinced women how wonderful it was to smoke. And, of course, that's why so many women have COPD and cancer of the lung today is because of Bernay. He certainly was exposed for that fraud, but he has never been exposed for the fraudulent propaganda program that they launched all across America. And to this very day, why, of course, his legacy is still here, and they're poisoning our children. So, Jack, help us get the information out.
Dr. Stan, is that included in fluoride deception?
That specific reference to Edward Bernay is in the fluoride deception. That's an excellent book.
Thank you, sir.
I strongly recommend that you read the book. The veil off of that fluoride, and you see that the lie about how good fluoride was goes clear back. He starts out with the killing fog in Dora, Pennsylvania.
Right.
They've been trying to pull the wool over our eyes for a long time, and they say stop it.
Right. Well, you sure do. Well, Dr. David Kennedy has been our guest tonight. Thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure, and I always learn something new every time you're on the program.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for telling your listeners about the scam of how the government has chosen to poison Americans.
Well, don't you worry. We're going to have you on again and again because we're going to keep hammering away at this until eventually the American people understand that they're poisoning our children. Good night. God bless you.
Good night.
And this is the time our listeners of Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our program to help us as we reach out 5 hours every day. And, of course, we have many expenses. We're taking on the Here's Help radio network, where we're heard for an hour every afternoon. We actually have run into some problems because we lost one of our sponsors, and if you're in a position to help us, why, we'd certainly appreciate hearing of you. Our telephone number? 1-800-544-8929. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to free information on Waterford newsletter, it is the November 2004 newsletter, and you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of our November 2004 newsletter, just give us a call. We'll send it to you, and you'll be amazed at the scientific studies. It's all documented. You can get the information that we've referred to, how they're certainly using this to poison the American people. Now, the book, The Fluoride Deception, we have several four-tape sets, and we actually have a DVD that Dr. Kennedy put together on this subject, plus the syllabus, The Hidden Agenda, and my talk on the history of water fluoridation. If you'd like to know more about these items, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Of course, we do hope that many of you will go to our website at www.radioliberty.com, and you can pull down all sorts of newsletters there. You can listen to our radio programs live. You can listen to the archive programs, which will be there for some weeks. And then, of course, you can link to the other networks that do carry our programs. And then please feel free to pull down the newsletters, copy the newsletters, study the newsletters, and get the information that's there. And if you need any of the documentation, we'll be glad to provide it for you. If you would like to, of course, come, we're having a conference, an all-day conference on the 19th of November here in the Monterey Bay area. We're bringing in outside speakers. If you are going to come, we need to know, because we're going to be serving. You'll have to call 1-800-544-8927. That's for the 19th of November, the all-day session, all-day conference we're going to have, and you'll be surprised at some of the information you'll learn there, information you're not going to hear elsewhere. And when you realize the implications of what we're talking about, why it will truly be overwhelming. We do have an interesting new DVD called Planned Population Reduction, and of course, water fluoridation is part of that program, because water fluoridation, particularly they know that, it also produces cancer, and of course when people die, you lower the level of the population. So women have difficulty getting pregnant, men have lowered testosterone counts, there are more children with Down's disease. All of these things are well documented. I haven't heard this. Simply as a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. Please pray for America, understanding we're involved in a spiritual battle being played out on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. Pray for our leaders and ministers, but please pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection.